Did you know that in recent times, an emerging religion is arising that could change the course of history? According to the prophecy of the Book of Revelation, the emergence of a dominant religion in the final days is anticipated. In this video, we will conduct an exhaustive analysis of how this religion could consolidate its global control and who might be driving its expansion. We will examine the strategies used, the key players involved, and the apocalyptic implications of this phenomenon. Get ready to discover a shocking revelation that could redefine our understanding of the end times. Before continuing, don't forget to like this video and subscribe to our channel to not miss any updates. Let's start. The Book of Revelation is unique in the Bible, revealing the future events of humanity and the end of times. The author of this book received these revelations while he was exiled on the island of Patmos due to his faith and testimony of Jesus Christ. In his visions, John saw and heard things so extraordinary that on several occasions an angel had to remind him to write down everything he witnessed. Revelation is a fascinating book with a clear theme: the triumph of good over evil. It describes how the forces of evil led by Satan will ultimately be defeated. This book encompasses a series of events that occur before, during, and after the return of the Lord Jesus, providing a detailed vision of the final judgment, the destruction of evil, and the restoration of the kingdom of God. Revelation is a work rich in symbolism and prophecy, offering hope and comfort to believers while anticipating the fulfillment of divine promises. In chapter 17 of Revelation, we are presented with a shocking revelation. John is invited by an angel to witness the judgment of an evil woman who represents the last world religion described as a great harlot. By reading and studying this passage, we are also invited to witness the ruin and humiliation of this false religion. Are you ready to discover it? For a clear understanding, let us analyze the verses of chapter 17 of Revelation, where the details of this event are revealed. Let's read verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." One of the seven angels with the seven bowls spoke with John and linked the judgment of the harlot with the last seven plagues. The chronology changes to focus on the judgments on the world empire of the Antichrist. The great harlot, a metaphor for false religion, idolatry, and apostasy, will be judged. In John's vision, the harlot sits in a position of authority over many waters, representing peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Her influence and dominion will be universal, and all will surrender to the false worship of the Babylonian system. The false religion will dominate the world during the tribulation period after the rapture. The true Church of Christ is described as a holy and pure virgin, in stark contrast to the image of this woman represented as a harlot. Karl Marx once declared that religion is the opium of the people, and in a sense, he was right. Empty religion devoid of real meaning can be as addictive and deceptive as a drug. This religion, symbolized by the harlot, does not offer true salvation and leads its followers down a path of spiritual infidelity, idolatry, and apostasy. While the true church seeks holiness and purity, this false religion seeks power and control, deceiving the masses and leading them away from the truth. Let's read verses 2 and 3. With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The association of the harlot with the kings of the earth shows her vast influence. The phrase, "committed fornication," reflects the spiritual immorality of the harlot with the world's leaders. Not only do rulers and influential people ally with her, but the inhabitants of the earth, a term for unbelievers, are made drunk with her falsehood. All give themselves to this abominable world religion of the Antichrist, not literally with sexual acts, but spiritually in complete surrender to falsehood. Then the angel who spoke with John took him in the spirit to a desolate place resembling where modern Babylon is believed to be. There John saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, identified as the Antichrist in other passages of Revelation. This indicates that the Antichrist supports this woman. Religion will be key in the kingdom of the Antichrist, especially after God's judgments devastate the world and political, economic, and military powers collapse. In their desperation, people will turn to the supernatural. Thus, the beast and the woman will coexist for a time. Initially, the religion will be separate from the domain of the Antichrist. However, there will come a point where the relationship between the two will change dramatically. The beast will eventually reject and symbolically destroy the harlot, leaving her desolate and powerless. At that time, the false prophet will play a crucial role in instigating global worship towards the Antichrist, thereby consolidating absolute control under the rule of the beast. Let's read verse 4. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. In this verse, we find the attire of the harlot, which is typical of figures who seek to stand out. Babylon chooses her clothing to attract attention. John describes her with garments of purple and scarlet, colors historically associated with royalty, nobility, and opulence. These colors not only symbolize her position of power, but also her ability to seduce and attract. Additionally, she is adorned with gold, precious stones, and pearls, elements that not only indicate her material wealth, but also reinforce her image of luxury and sophistication. This luxurious and ostentatious attire not only distinguishes her, but also underscores her ability to deceive and attract those who seek earthly riches and sensory pleasures. As an additional indication of her wealth, she holds a golden cup like prostitutes who want to take everything their victim has, making her victims drunk. The golden cup of the harlot is filled with abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. Let's read verse 5. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Just as it was common in the Roman world for prostitutes to identify themselves, Babylon also has a name written on her forehead. She is called a mystery, Babylon. This suggests that Babylon in this context does not simply refer to a geographical location. It is not about the ancient Babylon of John's time, nor a physical reconstruction of the city in the last days. Symbolic Babylon can be considered in a certain sense as a representation of apostate religious systems throughout history, but Babylon the Great symbolizes in a special sense the apostate religions that will unite in the end times. She is aptly called the mother of harlots, a term that in scriptures often symbolizes idolatry. Then the question arises, why is this false religion called Babylon? Babylon has deep significance in biblical history, mentioned 287 times in the Bible. It is the second most cited city after Jerusalem. Located on the banks of the Euphrates River, Babylon was considered the cradle of civilization, but also symbolized organized rebellion against God, as recounted in Genesis chapter 11 after the flood. Babylon represented a marked hostility towards divine will. Over time, Babylon became the capital of an empire that ruthlessly conquered Judah, subjugating it under its dominion. For God's people, Babylon embodied everything that was evil, cruelty, lust, and greed, seen as the enemy of God's chosen people. Those familiar with the Old Testament recognize that Babylon is associated with organized forms of idolatry, blasphemy, and the oppression of God's people. During the reign of the Antichrist, Babylon will exert unprecedented influence over the world, both religiously and commercially. Despite its opulence, Babylon represents idolatry, abominations, and impurity. It is the personification of the satanic movement that could be described as the religion of the global order. Our world is in a state of preparation to be seduced by this figure, driven by the idea that what matters is having a belief, regardless of its specific nature. This trend is clearly observed in the ecumenical movement that has gained strength in recent times. Major world religions and prominent Christian leaders are allying, indicating an unprecedented approach towards global religious unity. This phenomenon seems to be paving the way for the final events where biblical prophecies and visions about a unified world under a single religion could find fulfillment. The belief that all paths lead to God is a mistake. As the book of Proverbs chapter 14 verse 12 says, There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Human wisdom is an insufficient foundation to determine what is true or false, good or bad, worthy or unworthy. God's written revelation is the only infallible source to determine the right path of life. The human way has in it the seeds of death, while God's way leads to eternal life. Let's continue reading verse 6. I saw the woman, drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Like many harlots, this woman was drunk, but not with alcohol. The Babylonian harlot is described as drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. This vivid expression was often used in the ancient world to denote a fierce desire for violence. Some interpret the saints and the martyrs of Jesus as two different groups, the former from the Old Testament and the latter from the New Testament. However, it is most likely that both descriptions refer to the same group, God's people throughout history. The crucial point here is that the false religion personified by the harlot is a persecutor and murderer. Although the world is captivated by her, the harlot is drunk with the blood of God's people. The vision was so shocking that when John saw her, he was astonished, expressing confusion, shock, surprise, and fear at the terrible vision of this splendid figure and her deadly objective. It is crucial to remember that some of the most terrible atrocities committed against genuine Christians have been perpetrated in the name of the church, such as during the Holy Inquisition promoted by the Catholic Church. Let's continue reading verses 7 and 8. But the angel said to me, "Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and the 10 horns. The beast that you saw was, and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is." The focus of the explanation is on the beast. It seemed that the harlot governed the Antichrist system, but he is the dynamic factor, using her as tyrants have always used religion as a mere tool to achieve their purposes. The beast that you saw is the Antichrist, the satanic ruler of the last and most powerful empire in human history, who will serve as Satan's instrument to attack Israel, persecute believers, conquer the world for Satan, and oppose Christ. It is described as one who was and is not and is to come again. This phrase refers to the false death and resurrection of the Antichrist. The presumed resurrection of the Antichrist and the destruction of the false religious system will shake the world. Let's continue reading verse 9. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. The angel's declaration for the mind which has wisdom invites John and his readers to pay attention to what follows. This rare expression presents a difficult and complex aspect of this vision. It will require much spiritual discernment to understand, and perhaps only those alive at that time will fully comprehend it. The first key aspect of the vision that we must understand is that the 7 heads of the beast in verse 3 are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. Now, concerning Great Babylon in theological interpretation, it has been the subject of debate and various interpretations over time. Here are some of the most common interpretations. 1. The Roman Catholic Church. Many Protestant reformers like Martin Luther and John Calvin interpreted the harlot of Babylon as a representation of the Roman Catholic Church, which they accused of corruption, idolatry, and apostasy. In this interpretation, the harlot symbolizes a church that has fallen into corruption and deviated from true Christian faith. Additionally, other theologians assert that Rome is the only city that sits on 7 hills, suggesting that the interpretation of Great Babylon in Revelation specifically refers to Rome. 2. Corrupt political and economic systems. Some scholars see Babylon as a metaphor for any political, economic, or social system that opposes God's principles. This includes greed, injustice, oppression, and idolatry in all its forms. 3. Futuristic interpretations. In futuristic interpretations of Revelation, Babylon can be seen as a future political, economic, or religious entity that will arise in the end times and be destroyed by God. 4. allegorical perspectives. From a more allegorical perspective, Babylon could represent the internal struggles of the human soul, symbolizing the temptations and corruptions that individuals must overcome to achieve salvation. Now, as we have mentioned, many commentators have associated the Seven Mountains with Rome, known for being built on seven hills, interpreting the woman as the Roman Catholic Church. However, this interpretation could be considered limited and should not discount other possible interpretations. The context suggests that we are talking about more than just Rome, given that the empire of the Antichrist has a global reach. Although Rome is a center of religious influence through the Vatican, which intertwines with political leaders and often mixes religion and politics, it has also been blamed for the persecution of many Christians during the Holy Inquisition. The Vatican, in particular, is known for handling large sums of money and influencing global affairs that transcend the borders of the city of Rome. Let's continue reading verses 10 and 11. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition. Some theologians have suggested that the mountains represent seven world empires ruled by their kings. The angel tells John that five of them have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. The five fallen world empires of the Gentiles are Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. The empire that existed at that time was Rome. The other that has not yet come is the last world empire of the Antichrist. Whatever interpretation is adopted, we are sure that the last empire described in Revelation will be the government of the Antichrist. Let's continue reading verses 12 and 13. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These ten kings are subordinate rulers under the Antichrist, and his empire will seem to be divided into ten administrative districts. It is important to note that these kings have not yet received a kingdom, so they cannot be identified as historical figures in the current context. The mention that they will reign for 1 hour symbolizes the brevity of their rule, which corresponds to a period of 3.5 years according to apocalyptic symbolism. They have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast. Let's continue reading verses 14 and 15. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. The plan of action of the ten kings, like that of Satan and the Antichrist, will be to declare war against the Lamb in the Battle of Armageddon. John points out that the Lamb will overcome them. The battle will actually be a slaughter. Christ will completely destroy the forces that gather against him at his second coming. The reason why all the enemy forces of hell cannot defeat the Lamb is that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. With Christ, when he returns, will be the called, chosen, and faithful, a reference that can only refer to believers. Then he said to me, "The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues." This probably alludes to a confederation of 10 nations. Whatever their exact identity, their actions are clear. This strange figure governs over all peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues in the world. This shows that the impact of the harlot can be felt worldwide as a result of her relationship with the beast. This will truly be a world religion. The significance of the harlot centers on her connection with the beast, that is, how she is completely intertwined with the beast and the government he leads. Let's continue reading verse 16. "And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire." The alliance of the Antichrist with the false religious system will not last. Finally, the ten horns, the ten kings, and the beast, the Antichrist, will hate the harlot. After using the false religious system to help him gain control of the world, the Antichrist will eliminate it. They will make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. This graphic language of extreme violence is used to make clear that the Antichrist and his minions will completely destroy the false religious system. In the end, the Antichrist will not tolerate any form of worship that is not of himself. Let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The Antichrist will violently oppose any form of divine worship and will enthrone himself in the temple of God in Jerusalem. Both Daniel and Jesus show that this blasphemous action of the Antichrist takes place in the middle of the tribulation period. Those who refuse to worship him will be persecuted, and many will die as martyrs. Thus concludes the Antichrist's alliance with Babylon with destruction. After using it for his own ends, once he no longer needs it, he reveals his true purpose of being worshipped and being the center of religion. Someone once said, "Badly paid is the one who serves him." In contrast, Christ is a good master who has great rewards for his children. Let's continue reading verses 17 and 18. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. The judgment sent against religious Babylon was ordained by God. Sometimes God uses one wicked group, in this case, the 10 kings, as an instrument of his judgment against another wicked group, in this case, religious Babylon. This happens quite often in the Bible. The political support that these 10 rulers will provide to the Antichrist will be ordained by God. But their self-interested actions inspired by Satan are precisely within the purpose of God's sovereign plan. In reality, it is God who has put it into the hearts of the followers of the Antichrist to fulfill what God wills, to give their kingdom to the beast. God's power is behind the destruction and consolidation of the evil empire. As always, Satan is the instrument of God's purposes. The unified world government so sought after by humanists will finally have arrived, only to be destroyed in a powerful act of divine judgment. Every prophecy of the coming of Christ and the establishment of his kingdom will be fully fulfilled. The world will receive exactly what it asks for, a religion without God and a government without God. Finally, although the final fulfillment of these prophecies will occur after the rapture of the church, the mystery of iniquity is already unfolding today. Therefore, we must be cautious with religious movements that corrupt the gospel. Babylon, the great corrupt city, is doomed to be destroyed by God, who will provoke a devastating economic crisis through an alliance between the Antichrist and the false prophet. The kings of the earth, jealous of Babylon, will unite with the beast to overthrow her. This fall is presented in the book of Revelation with the certainty that it has already been decided by God. The message for Christians is clear. They must avoid the influence of Babylon and seek a life in a superior spiritual city. The first warning is that Babylon is full of the blood of martyrs, indicating that in an immoral city there is no place for the righteous. The second warning is a call to leave Babylon so as not to share in her sins and her plagues, for her crimes have reached to heaven. The third warning is about the emerging religion, a movement that mixes various beliefs and dilutes biblical truth, promoting a relativistic approach that leads believers away from true Christian faith. It is essential that Christians remain firm in their beliefs, resist deceptive doctrines, and seek God's wisdom to remain faithful to the truth of the gospel. Thank you for being part of this ministry. God bless you. Did you know that in recent times, an emerging religion is arising that could change the course of history? According to the prophecy of the book of Revelation, the emergence of a dominant religion in the final days is anticipated. In this video, we will conduct an exhaustive analysis of how this religion could consolidate its global control and who might be driving its expansion. We will examine the strategies used, the key players involved, and the apocalyptic implications of this phenomenon. Get ready to discover a shocking revelation that could redefine our understanding of the end times. Before continuing, don't forget to like this video and subscribe to our channel to not miss any updates. Let's start. The book of Revelation is unique in the Bible. revealing the future events of humanity and the end of times. The author of this book received these revelations while he was exiled on the island of Patmos due to his faith and testimony of Jesus Christ. In his visions, John saw and heard things so extraordinary that on several occasions an angel had to remind him to write down everything he witnessed. Revelation is a fascinating book with a clear theme, the triumph of good over evil. It describes how the forces of evil led by Satan will ultimately be defeated. This book encompasses a series of events that occur before, during, and after the return of the Lord Jesus, providing a detailed vision of the final judgment, the destruction of evil, and the restoration of the kingdom of God. Revelation is a work rich in symbolism and prophecy, offering hope and comfort to believers while anticipating the fulfillment of divine promises. In chapter 17 of Revelation, we are presented with a shocking revelation. John is invited by an angel to witness the judgment of an evil woman who represents the last world religion described as a great harlot. By reading and studying this passage, we are also invited to witness the ruin and humiliation of this false religion. Are you ready to discover it? For a clear understanding, let us analyze the verses of chapter 17 of Revelation, where the details of this event are revealed. Let's read verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." One of the seven angels with the seven bowls spoke with John and linked the judgment of the harlot with the last seven plagues. The chronology changes to focus on the judgments on the world empire of the Antichrist. The great harlot, a metaphor for false religion, idolatry, and apostasy, will be judged. In John's vision, the harlot sits in a position of authority over many waters, representing peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Her influence and dominion will be universal, and all will surrender to the false worship of the Babylonian system. The false religion will dominate the world during the tribulation period after the rapture. The true Church of Christ is described as a holy and pure virgin, in stark contrast to the image of this woman represented as a harlot. Karl Marx once declared that religion is the opium of the people, and in a sense, he was right. Empty religion devoid of real meaning can be as addictive and deceptive as a drug. This religion, symbolized by the harlot, does not offer true salvation and leads its followers down a path of spiritual infidelity, idolatry, and apostasy. While the true church seeks holiness and purity, this false religion seeks power and control, deceiving the masses and leading them away from the truth. Let's read verses 2 and 3. With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. The association of the harlot with the kings of the earth shows her vast influence. The phrase, committed fornication, reflects the spiritual immorality of the harlot with the world's leaders. Not only do rulers and influential people ally with her, but the inhabitants of the earth, a term for unbelievers, are made drunk with her falsehood. All give themselves to this abominable world religion of the Antichrist, not literally with sexual acts, but spiritually in complete surrender to falsehood. Then the angel who spoke with John took him in the spirit to a desolate place resembling where modern Babylon is believed to be. There John saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, identified as the Antichrist in other passages of Revelation. This indicates that the Antichrist supports this woman. Religion will be key in the kingdom of the Antichrist, especially after God's judgments devastate the world and political, economic, and military powers collapse. In their desperation, people will turn to the supernatural. Thus, the beast and the woman will coexist for a time. Initially, the religion will be separate from the domain of the Antichrist. However, there will come a point where the relationship between the two will change dramatically. The beast will eventually reject and symbolically destroy the harlot, leaving her desolate and powerless. At that time, the false prophet will play a crucial role in instigating global worship towards the Antichrist, thereby consolidating absolute control under the rule of the beast. Let's read verse 4. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. In this verse, we find the attire of the harlot, which is typical of figures who seek to stand out. Babylon chooses her clothing to attract attention. John describes her with garments of purple and scarlet, colors historically associated with royalty, nobility, and opulence. These colors not only symbolize her position of power, but also her ability to seduce and attract. Additionally, she is adorned with gold, precious stones, and pearls, elements that not only indicate her material wealth, but also reinforce her image of luxury and sophistication. This luxurious and ostentatious attire not only distinguishes her, but also underscores her ability to deceive and attract those who seek earthly riches and sensory pleasures. As an additional indication of her wealth, she holds a golden cup like prostitutes who want to take everything their victim has, making her victims drunk. The golden cup of the harlot is filled with abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. Let's read verse 5. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Just as it was common in the Roman world for prostitutes to identify themselves, Babylon also has a name written on her forehead. She is called a mystery, Babylon. This suggests that Babylon in this context does not simply refer to a geographical location. It is not about the ancient Babylon of John's time, nor a physical reconstruction of the city in the last days. Symbolic Babylon can be considered in a certain sense as a representation of apostate religious systems throughout history, but Babylon the Great symbolizes in a special sense the apostate religions that will unite in the end times. She is aptly called the mother of harlots, a term that in scriptures often symbolizes idolatry. Then the question arises, why is this false religion called Babylon? Babylon has deep significance in biblical history, mentioned 287 times in the Bible. It is the second most cited city after Jerusalem. Located on the banks of the Euphrates River, Babylon was considered the cradle of civilization, but also symbolized organized rebellion against God, as recounted in Genesis chapter 11 after the flood. Babylon represented a marked hostility towards divine will. Over time, Babylon became the capital of an empire that ruthlessly conquered Judah, subjugating it under its dominion. For God's people, Babylon embodied everything that was evil, cruelty, lust, and greed, seen as the enemy of God's chosen people. Those familiar with the Old Testament recognize that Babylon is associated with organized forms of idolatry, blasphemy, and the oppression of God's people. During the reign of the Antichrist, Babylon will exert unprecedented influence over the world, both religiously and commercially. Despite its opulence, Babylon represents idolatry, abominations, and impurity. It is the personification of the satanic movement that could be described as the religion of the global order. Our world is in a state of preparation to be seduced by this figure, driven by the idea that what matters is having a belief, regardless of its specific nature. This trend is clearly observed in the ecumenical movement that has gained strength in recent times. Major world religions and prominent Christian leaders are allying, indicating an unprecedented approach towards global religious unity. This phenomenon seems to be paving the way for the final events where biblical prophecies and visions about a unified world under a single religion could find fulfillment. The belief that all paths lead to God is a mistake. As the book of Proverbs chapter 14 verse 12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Human wisdom is an insufficient foundation to determine what is true or false, good or bad, worthy or unworthy. God's written revelation is the only infallible source to determine the right path of life. The human way has in it the seeds of death, while God's way leads to eternal life. Let's continue reading verse 6. I saw the woman, drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Like many harlots, this woman was drunk, but not with alcohol. The Babylonian harlot is described as drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. This vivid expression was often used in the ancient world to denote a fierce desire for violence. Some interpret the saints and the martyrs of Jesus as two different groups, the former from the Old Testament and the latter from the New Testament. However, it is most likely that both descriptions refer to the same group, God's people throughout history. The crucial point here is that the false religion personified by the harlot is a persecutor and murderer. Although the world is captivated by her, the harlot is drunk with the blood of God's people. The vision was so shocking that when John saw her, he was astonished, expressing confusion, shock, surprise, and fear at the terrible vision of this splendid figure and her deadly objective. It is crucial to remember that some of the most terrible atrocities committed against genuine Christians have been perpetrated in the name of the church, such as during the Holy Inquisition promoted by the Catholic Church. Let's continue reading verses 7 and 8. But the angel said to me, "Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and the 10 horns. The beast that you saw was, and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was, and is not, and yet is." The focus of the explanation is on the beast. It seemed that the harlot governed the Antichrist system, but he is the dynamic factor, using her as tyrants have always used religion as a mere tool to achieve their purposes. The beast that you saw is the Antichrist, the satanic ruler of the last and most powerful empire in human history, who will serve as Satan's instrument to attack Israel, persecute believers, conquer the world for Satan, and oppose Christ. It is described as one who was and is not and is to come again. This phrase refers to the false death and resurrection of the Antichrist. The presumed resurrection of the Antichrist and the destruction of the false religious system will shake the world. Let's continue reading verse 9. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. The angel's declaration for the mind which has wisdom invites John and his readers to pay attention to what follows. This rare expression presents a difficult and complex aspect of this vision. It will require much spiritual discernment to understand, and perhaps only those alive at that time will fully comprehend it. The first key aspect of the vision that we must understand is that the 7 heads of the beast in verse 3 are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. Now, concerning Great Babylon in theological interpretation, it has been the subject of debate and various interpretations over time. Here are some of the most common interpretations. 1. The Roman Catholic Church. Many Protestant reformers like Martin Luther and John Calvin interpreted the harlot of Babylon as a representation of the Roman Catholic Church, which they accused of corruption, idolatry, and apostasy. In this interpretation, the harlot symbolizes a church that has fallen into corruption and deviated from true Christian faith. Additionally, other theologians assert that Rome is the only city that sits on 7 hills, suggesting that the interpretation of Great Babylon in Revelation specifically refers to Rome. 2. Corrupt political and economic systems. Some scholars see Babylon as a metaphor for any political, economic, or social system that opposes God's principles. This includes greed, injustice, oppression, and idolatry in all its forms. 3. Futuristic interpretations. In futuristic interpretations of Revelation, Babylon can be seen as a future political, economic, or religious entity that will arise in the end times and be destroyed by God. 4. Allegorical perspectives. From a more allegorical perspective, Babylon could represent the internal struggles of the human soul, symbolizing the temptations and corruptions that individuals must overcome to achieve salvation. Now, as we have mentioned, many commentators have associated the 7 mountains with Rome, known for being built on 7 hills, interpreting the woman as the Roman Catholic Church. However, this interpretation could be considered limited and should not discount other possible interpretations. The context suggests that we are talking about more than just Rome, given that the empire of the Antichrist has a global reach. Although Rome is a center of religious influence through the Vatican, which intertwines with political leaders and often mixes religion and politics. It has also been blamed for the persecution of many Christians during the Holy Inquisition. The Vatican in particular is known for handling large sums of money and influencing global affairs that transcend the borders of the city of Rome. Let's continue reading verses 10 and 11. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition. Some theologians have suggested that the mountains represent seven world empires ruled by their kings. The angel tells John that five of them have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. The five fallen world empires of the Gentiles are Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. The empire that existed at that time was Rome. The other that has not yet come is the last world empire of the Antichrist. Whatever interpretation is adopted, we are sure that the last empire described in Revelation will be the government of the Antichrist. Let's continue reading verses 12 and 13. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These ten kings are subordinate rulers under the Antichrist, and his empire will seem to be divided into ten administrative districts. It is important to note that these kings have not yet received a kingdom, so they cannot be identified as historical figures in the current context. The mention that they will reign for 1 hour symbolizes the brevity of their rule, which corresponds to a period of 3.5 years according to apocalyptic symbolism. They have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast. Let's continue reading verses 14 and 15. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. The plan of action of the ten kings, like that of Satan and the Antichrist, will be to declare war against the Lamb in the Battle of Armageddon. John points out that the Lamb will overcome them. The battle will actually be a slaughter. Christ will completely destroy the forces that gather against him at his second coming. The reason why all the enemy forces of hell cannot defeat the Lamb is that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. With Christ, when he returns, will be the called, chosen, and faithful, a reference that can only refer to believers. Then he said to me, "The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues." This probably alludes to a confederation of 10 nations. Whatever their exact identity, their actions are clear. This strange figure governs over all peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues in the world. This shows that the impact of the harlot can be felt worldwide as a result of her relationship with the beast. This will truly be a world religion. The significance of the harlot centers on her connection with the beast, that is, how she is completely intertwined with the beast and the government he leads. Let's continue reading verse 16. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. The alliance of the Antichrist with the false religious system will not last. Finally, the ten horns, the ten kings, and the beast, the Antichrist, will hate the harlot. After using the false religious system to help him gain control of the world, the Antichrist will eliminate it. They will make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. This graphic language of extreme violence is used to make clear that the Antichrist and his minions will completely destroy the false religious system. In the end, the Antichrist will not tolerate any form of worship that is not of himself. Let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The Antichrist will violently oppose any form of divine worship and will enthrone himself in the temple of God in Jerusalem. Both Daniel and Jesus show that this blasphemous action of the Antichrist takes place in the middle of the tribulation period. Those who refuse to worship him will be persecuted, and many will die as martyrs. Thus concludes the Antichrist's alliance with Babylon with destruction. After using it for his own ends, once he no longer needs it, he reveals his true purpose of being worshipped and being the center of religion. Someone once said, "Badly paid is the one who serves him." In contrast, Christ is a good master who has great rewards for his children. Let's continue reading verses 17 and 18. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. The judgment sent against religious Babylon was ordained by God. Sometimes God uses one wicked group, in this case, the 10 kings, as an instrument of his judgment against another wicked group, in this case, religious Babylon. This happens quite often in the Bible. The political support that these 10 rulers will provide to the Antichrist will be ordained by God. But their self-interested actions inspired by Satan are precisely within the purpose of God's sovereign plan. In reality, it is God who has put it into the hearts of the followers of the Antichrist to fulfill what God wills, to give their kingdom to the beast. God's power is behind the destruction and consolidation of the evil empire. As always, Satan is the instrument of God's purposes. The unified world government, so sought after by humanists, will finally have arrived, only to be destroyed in a powerful act of divine judgment. Every prophecy of the coming of Christ and the establishment of his kingdom will be fully fulfilled. The world will receive exactly what it asks for, a religion without God and a government without God. Finally, although the final fulfillment of these prophecies will occur after the rapture of the church, the mystery of iniquity is already unfolding today. Therefore, we must be cautious with religious movements that corrupt the gospel. Babylon, the great corrupt city, is doomed to be destroyed by God, who will provoke a devastating economic crisis through an alliance between the Antichrist and the false prophet. The kings of the earth, jealous of Babylon, will unite with the beast to overthrow her. This fall is presented in the book of Revelation with the certainty that it has already been decided by God. The message for Christians is clear. They must avoid the influence of Babylon and seek a life in a superior spiritual city. The first warning is that Babylon is full of the blood of martyrs, indicating that in an immoral city, there is no place for the righteous. The second warning is a call to leave Babylon so as not to share in her sins and her plagues, for her crimes have reached to heaven. The third warning is about the emerging religion, a movement that mixes various beliefs and dilutes biblical truth, promoting a relativistic approach that leads believers away from true Christian faith. It is essential that Christians remain firm in their beliefs, resist deceptive doctrines, and seek God's wisdom to remain faithful to the truth of the gospel. Thank you for being part of this ministry. God bless you.